You've turned into the broadcast where the rubber meets the road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
2 Corinthians 4th chapter. And if we don't believe what Paul told us in Romans, we can go to 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Isn't it interesting what he says there? I like his phraseology. What did he say? He says, from those people, the gospel is hid. Now, does that make sense? Does that make sense that God would allow His Word to be hidden from these people? These people that need it more than anything else? Would it make sense that God would say, oh, no, I'm allowing this gospel to be hidden from them? How patient is God? He's very long-suffering and patient, but how many of you remember the scene in Matthew where Jesus has tried to reach the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where Jesus has tried to reach Jerusalem? Jesus has so gone so far to reach them that when the woman came to Him to ask for healing for her daughter, what was the woman's words? He said, but is it proper to give to the dogs what is meant for God's people? I'm paraphrasing. And what did she say? Her faith was so strong, she said, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. Jesus was so adamant about reaching the Jews that that's what he said to the Samaritan woman, that she was a dog and didn't deserve what the Jews were getting. But do you remember a little later on what happened? Jesus falling at the steps of the temple and crying, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you have missed the time, and now it's given to someone else. See, God's already set the precedent. When Jesus came, it was for the Jews. They wouldn't accept Him. He gave it to someone else. And in Corinthians right here, it says it's hidden. If we go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, Matthew 13, 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. They hearing, hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah, which says, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed. Get this. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What's Jesus talking about there? Jesus is talking about being turned over. to the point where you no longer hear. You no longer see. You no longer comprehend. How many times have you talked to someone about the Lord? Tried to get through their thick skull they needed Jesus. And you'll get one of two things. You'll get like Mary and I have with my brother-in-law. Oh, Jesus is just all right with me. I'm great. I'm going to heaven. And then he'll open another beer or stoke up another joint of marijuana. Because that's what he is. Or you'll get, I don't need him. I know it all. The Bible's very plain and clear. Their eyes are closed, least they see. Their ears are deaf, least they hear. Their minds are fogged, least they comprehend and turn to the Lord. You know, if you read the Old Testament and study it, you're going to see in the Old Testament that God only took so much from the Israelites, and then it took something special. Come on, God brought them out of Egypt. What happened? God brings them out of Egypt. Moses goes up to get 10 commandments. He's gone a little over 40 days, and they're having a party with a golden calf. Bible's very plain and clear. When Moses shows up, he's mad enough he breaks the tablets and has to go get some more. But what happens? The earth opens up and swallows them. We go down the road a little bit. Did they learn anything? No! They start complaining again. What happens? They get diseased. And if it wasn't for Aaron's smart thinking, running, getting the incense from the altar, and getting out in front of the disease, they would have ceased to exist. 17,000 people died before Aaron could run fast enough to get in front of that disease. See, our God's a very patient God, but our God's a very jealous God. Jesus tells us in the end days what will happen. And I am so sick up to hear of everybody saying, we're going to have an end days revival. No, you're not. Study your Word. There is nothing in the Word that says there's going to be a big, giant revival at the end and all these people are going to come in. The opposite is true. Jesus says, for many will fall away. He says their hearts will wax cold. He says they will be bitter. He doesn't anywhere say in His words, when He describes the end times and the period and what's going to happen, that we're going to have this great period of everybody coming into the church and a gigantic revival. He says the exact opposite. And look, the Episcopalians have come out and said, flat out, Jesus is not the way or the truth or the life and the only way to God. They put that in their bylaws now. The Methodists have mainstream commercials that say, that show a Buddhist, a Muslim. They show all the different religions and they say, find your own way to God. And then come fellowship with us. The Catholic Pope bowed down in Mecca and prayed three times, just like the Muslims, to Allah. What you see today is the church falling apart at the seams. Your best life now. Joel Osteen wrote a book, Your Best Life Now. Have you ever looked at it or read it? Go through it. Out of the seven steps to your best life, God's way at the bottom. And He gets one of the seven steps. Rick Warren wrote Your Purpose-Driven Life. But mysteriously, in all of those purpose-driven things, you're not supposed to bring your Bible. You're supposed to bring His book and listen to what it says. We live in a society that doesn't want Jesus, and we have gone over to the other side. We have walked across the line, and we've said, oh man, we're in a little small church, and God, we're not getting enough money coming in. Let's embrace everybody. Let's make a happy church, and then we'll be big. We have compromised. And I'm here to tell you today, if the Word of God is true, those that compromise are going to be in the same situation. your eyes will grow dim, your ears will grow dull, your mind will be clouded, and you will not hear the truth, lest you turn and repent and are saved. I've been going back and forth for about 3 days in an email, because I was telling Sue I sent out my teaching that won the bells of Christmas. And because this gentleman believes that we still should keep the holy days in the Old Testament, I'm evil. I've changed God's word because I've mentioned Christmas. Now, what purpose does this serve? Does it glorify Christ to get that wound up? He's not preaching Jesus. He's saying, basically, if you follow Christmas, you're going to go to hell because you should be keeping the holy days in the Old Testament. Paul tells us very simply, some of you eat veggies, some of you eat meat, some of you worship on one day, some on another. If you do it to God, do it to God and be happy. That's all there is to it. You don't need to worry about it. I'm going to tell you, you need to live by Jesus' words. Jesus said, knock, and it shall be opened. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. But the moment you start to compromise, the moment that compromising starts, you're on a downhill slide, and if you don't start it, stop it fast. This old pastor speaking from experience, you know, I'm not a saint. I'm a heathen. I'm just covered by the blood of Jesus, and I'm saved. But still, deep down inside, no matter how good I want to be, there's a heathen I'm constantly fighting against. Paul said it. I'm at war with his flesh. Some days when I have to get up real early, I'm in a real war with it until I have about 3 cups of coffee. Then I'm doing okay. But we have to. It's not a should. It's not a maybe. We have to. Just like you, young lady, you got 3 future preachers. But they can't be if you don't make them that way. If you're not their leader. You're not responsible if they don't turn out that way. Unless you lead them down that path. We have 5 children. 3 of our children are on fire Christians. 2 of them are about as down the heathen trail as you could get. But you know, because of our prayers, I can honestly say those twins of ours have heard the gospel more than any human being I've ever seen. And it hasn't changed them. Why? Because their eyes are dim. Their ears are deaf. Their minds are clouded by their own pleasures. We are the church. It's not this building. And it's starting to get warm, see? It's not this It's not the assemblies, it's not the Methodists, it's not the Baptists, it's you and I. We are the church. And I guarantee you, if we don't get off our duffs and start doing something, the darkness is going to come a lot faster. If you look since the big push of the false doctrines, the doctrines that center Christians on themselves has taken effect since the 50s is when that really started. You look at it, that's the acceleration point. Because Christians took their eyes off of the only thing that mattered, Jesus Christ, and put it on themselves. And started thinking, instead of what's in it for God, what's in it for me. When you walk out today, I want you to live by the phrase that's quoted, I think, more times than anything else in the Bible. You can find it in Romans 1:17. You can find it in Galatians 3:1. You can find it in Habakkuk, and I can't remember, so I got to look. Come on, where are you, Habakkuk? You can find it in Habakkuk 2:4 and Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith that this building's going to open next week? Faith in the new pastor's going to show up and fill it? Faith in yourself? No. The just shall live by faith. It was only said once in the Old Testament. It was talking about faith in God. The just will live by faith in God. But 3 times in the New Testament, that's how important it is. Three times in the New Testament it's reiterated that the just shall live by faith. Why is that? Why is it so important in these dark times especially? Because if you don't have faith in this word, you're going to swerve. You're going to start swerving. You know, the church today is deceived because they don't want to look. You know, if anybody in the Episcopalian churches would read the Word and not believe what somebody tells them, they know that that's wrong. Jesus said, John 14:7, I am the way, the truth, the life, and the only way to the Father. It's been that way for 2,000 years, and I don't care what man says, it's still that way. And I love this. This is said by an old pastor. It's on the back of my business cards. But I don't care if you believe in hell or not. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going. Period. There's no black and white with a gray in the middle. It's here or here. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going. And I also am going to, you know, I'll get myself in trouble with the once saved, always saved crowd, but I also believe there is no such thing as once saved, always saved. You walk away from Jesus, you're in doom, buddy. The author of Hebrews says, for it is impossible. That's the word. Never happened, can't happen, will not. It is impossible to restore someone who has partaken of the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the goodness of God. Impossible. Can't happen. Now, if you've never really known Jesus, you've never really had the Holy Spirit, you've never known the fullness of God, but you thought you were a Christian and fell, yeah, you can be restored. But if you've had the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon you, and you've had that goodness of God in you, and you walk away and spit on God, Paul calls it very simply, you re-crucify Christ. You make His death. You nullify it. Now, you're going to convince me that you can do that and be restored? You spit on God after He gave you everything? I don't think so. But just for the record, that's the gospel according to Jay. You guys want to see a fantastic growth in this valley? You want to see a fantastic growth in your lives? You want to see a fantastic growth in this church? Then be a light. I mean a light. Such a light that when you walk into Fahler's or into the little market here, people look at you and tell you you're glowing. People tell you, wow, I want what you want. Strangest thing that ever happened to Mary and I is we had a young woman who thought she was a Christian and was saved. She came up to us outside the post office and said, I want what you want. We said, we got Jesus. Oh no, I've got Jesus. I want what you want. Well, that woman has since gone back to every form of debauchery she ever could. She didn't have Jesus. She had that form. What were we told? A form of godliness without the power. You want the church here to grow. You want the community to be saved. You know, really, the bottom line for you guys ought to be what it is for Mary and I. I don't care if a church grows. I don't care if the building closes. I want souls saved. I want them in heaven with me. Now, I found that they're related. You know, if you're out there preaching and teaching and saving souls, your church gonna fill. But if you aren't, your church won't. But what's better than your church filling is every time, it's kind of like the movie It's a Wonderful Life. This is the way I look at it. This is the way I look at it. It's like Wonderful Life. At the very end, the bell rang. And the little girl said, look, Daddy, an angel just got its wings. Well, see, that's the way I kind of look at it, is that when you save someone, there's this little ka-ching, because it's one more soul making it through the gates. Not ka-ching because it's in your bank account. Not ka-ching because it's in your little cash drawer. But a little ka-ching because there's one more that just got through those gates. I'll leave you with this thought. The Bible tells us that hell expands itself daily. In fact, it goes into much more detail than that. It actually says that hell is licking its chops and dredging up the evil kings and princes to come meet you. It's so eager to drag you in. But nowhere in the Bible will you find where it says heaven is expanding itself daily. God built hell to hold the fallen angels and Satan's demons, not mankind. Mankind has made the choice to go to hell. God didn't make that choice. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But God is a fair and just God. And how fair would it be if you were the Christian missionary worker that had spent your whole life working for God, and you die having your head chopped off? You end up in heaven, and standing right next to you is the guy that had professed his whole life to be a Christian, but he lived a life of total debauchery, but used the word of Christ as a Christian. Never lived it, never gave any fruit, never spread anything, never did one thing for God except use that word and said he was one. How fair would it be? See, God's a just judge. And that's what you and I have to get through our thick skull, no matter who we want in heaven. We have to get through our skull that God is just. And when he judges, it's just. It's based on the fruits. And if we have people in our lives that are not living like they should, like one of our daughters, both of our daughters have claimed to be Christians more times than I can count. One of them has told me, in fact, she got mad at me about 3 months ago because she told me what a great Christian she was. And I'll be honest, I'm ashamed of it, but I'll be honest. I said to her, how can you be a Christian and be living in a homosexual relationship? Explain that to me. Because the Bible says it's a sin. So how can you claim to go to heaven and live in a direct opposite of what God says? You can't. I don't care how much you want to candy coat it. You can't. If you can, then Jesus' death on the cross was worthless. Do the Muslim thing. You know how you become a Muslim? You hold up your little finger and give them your new name. Serious. Dead serious. You want to be a Muslim? You go to a Muslim mosque, you walk in, hold up your little finger and give them your name. Abu Uba Baba. You're a Muslim. Whatever name you want to pick, it's a new name. They give you your new name. That's it. You want to become a Christian? You have to accept the sacrifice of Jesus. And what does he say? He says, bear your cross. That sure don't sound like a free ride. As you go out this week, you know what the greatest present you could give that new pastor when he shows up? Is to tell as many people as you can, we've got a new pastor. We're looking forward to a new life. We're going to be growing. Come this Sunday. Tell as many as you can. You might only get one that you told. But if everybody here today gets one more, that's four more than we had today. If you manage to get two, that's eight more. The greatest gift you could give him is to get out there and tell those people about Jesus and get them to give him a chance. Don't make him go out and do it himself. He's a young man, just out of college. You'll kill him. See it time and time again. They have the fire, but they can only handle so much. He needs you to be the fire under him. No matter how young, how old you are. Four times in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Keep that faith. Or as an article I'm writing right now says, hang in there, baby. You want an interesting study? This week, read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Okay? And at the end of each church, you'll notice, five of the six churches all have he who overcomes and then a reward. Okay? The word overcome in the Greek means to physically conquer with force. It doesn't mean somebody that just gets through by the skin of their teeth. It means to physically conquer by force. But if you really want to see something of how God looks, read those seven churches. Notice the one church that doesn't get told, he who overcomes. And then notice each promise, because they're all different, but they all add up. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Lord, we just love you and praise you. We thank you for your love, your care. Oh, Lord, you are so good to us. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for the word today, and I hope it was your words, not mine. And I ask a special blessing upon this body as they enter into a new time. Bring in new blood, new heart, new hopes, and reach this community for Jesus. That's all it's about, Lord. I ask right now that you provide the workers. For the harvest is ripe and ready in this community. Provide the workers. Lord, I just ask a blessing upon each, and I ask that you cover every one of the prayer requests. I ask that you cover them, touch them, and that your will be done. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You too. Need a bigger mouse on this thing. See if we were a little more high tech. But leave it to me not to be high tech. I think this is a good song to end with, since we all enjoyed it the last time around.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.